Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of We Are Faith. We're coming at you this week with an exciting topic, a little bit of a scary topic, though, something I don't think that we're all quite so comfortable with. We've talked about a lot of things on this podcast. We've talked about everything from our testimonies to, setting boundaries. And I think that this one probably scares me the most, if I had to be honest. And even though it is a little bit of a worrying topic, I think it's one that we need to cover. And I think it's one that actually can be very, very beneficial. One thing we want to do today is talk about how it can benefit you, how it can benefit those around you, and how it can benefit the church and the kingdom overall to be vulnerable. I'm excited. You're excited. Honey, are you excited?
The most excited.
I love it. I love it. One thing that you guys don't know is that my wife is actually very, very fond of the soundboard. She thinks that my she thinks that my little drops are the best thing ever. And I know it may come as a surprise, but I actually think it's the best thing ever, too. So that's me being vulnerable. Vulnerable. Oh, man. Well, this week we want to start off with a scripture. 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 8. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. And thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. And so this is a really familiar passage of scripture. I think we've all heard it before. Very familiar story. We know kind of the lead up to this, right? David, of course, commits a terrible sin. He fornicates with Bathsheba. After seeing her bathing on the roof, he sends for her and has her taken and commits adultery. Bathsheba then becomes pregnant with David's child. And of course, Bathsheba being married, David has to figure out how he's going to cover this up. And so he has Uriah, her husband, killed by sending him into the front lines of battle. And then he ends up ultimately marrying Bathsheba and moving her into his home. And so after that, of course, God sends Nathan the prophet to David. David accepts him into his home. And then Nathan begins to tell David this story of a rich man, a poor man, and a lamb. And we can see how the rich man doesn't take from his own flocks, but rather takes the poor man's prized possession, the one thing that he has in this world, this ewe lamb, and kills it. And I think it's important to note this story because it connects with David as a shepherd. And I think that this is where we start getting into this idea of being vulnerable, right? David is a king. And I think we all recognize this ability that we have in the modern day that, you know, if the preacher says something or the church does something, then, you know, we have this option that we can just pack up and leave and go to the church down the road, right? But I think that idea taps into, are we vulnerable enough to hear what we need to hear in order to be changed, if that makes sense. And so I think of David being a king, and this man comes to him and looks him in his face and tells him this story, and of course, sets David off because, again, David being a shepherd, this story connects with him in his heart. He understands the value of a ewe lamb, and he understands the value of what it means to lose that lamb. And when Nathan says this thing, "Thou art the man," it would have been so easy for David to have Nathan killed. He could have continued to try to cover this thing up, but because he was able to open up his heart and because he was able to receive what the man of God said, he was able to be changed because of it. And so I use that as kind of a launching pad for us here today, honey, to start talking about this idea of being vulnerable. And I want to start there with the man of God. You know, I think it's important to remember the pastor, the preacher, the ministers in your life, whether it be your youth pastor, your worship arts pastor, whether it be your small group pastor, whoever it is, they are set to be a watcher over your soul and a leader in your spiritual walk. And so it's important that we remain vulnerable to the things that they say, because the things that they say are meant for our good. And the things that they say are meant to change, to challenge, to charge us, and to help us to grow and to be strengthened. I think what would have happened had David reacted negatively to what the man of God said to him? What would have happened if David had not accepted this word from the prophet, and had he reacted and had him taken out and killed, or, you know, disappeared, right, as the old saying goes, in order to continue covering up the thing that he's done? And so I think that challenge kind of goes forth to us today to remain vulnerable to the man of God in our life.
Right. I think it's hard for us because we oftentimes don't like being vulnerable, because being vulnerable literally means that you're opening up yourself, you know, to be hurt and to have pain. And for a lot of people that, you know, seems dangerous and scary, but at the same time, being vulnerable or in a state of vulnerability is one of the most beautiful, you know, and prideful places that you could be. And when it comes to the man of God and putting yourself in a position to be vulnerable to him and to be able to hear the things that he's saying, I think is one of the most important aspects that we need to grasp as Christians, because a lot of times they do say things that step on our toes. You know, they do have those sessions where they're praying and talking to God and asking God to direct them on what they need to say to their congregation. And if what they're saying is something that hits you or steps on your toes or kind of pricks your heart a little bit, then maybe you need to be vulnerable to say, "Hey, what you said applies to me. What do I need to do to fix it?" Because they're not up there just to speak, you know, to deaf ears. They're up there to help change somebody and lead them closer to God. So if what they're saying, and not even just in a sermon, if they come to you and they give you a word, or in a devotional or whatever, a video they post, whatever it is that they say, if it resonates with you, we need to be vulnerable to act on those feelings, because that's how we grow and that's how we mature. But if we're not vulnerable and we say, "That probably wasn't for me, that was probably for the person sitting next to me," you're never going to grow. You're going to remain like stagnant in your walk with God. It's never going to, you know, get any deeper than it is, because you're not willing to hear that you do need to change. And there's things about your life that aren't perfect that you could work on.
Absolutely. And we can see even to exactly what you said. David becomes emotional when he hears this story, and he begins to lash out in a way that shows that he's really feeling what Nathan is saying. And I think it's important what you said, and the way that he reacts, right? The way that we react in that moment when the preacher steps on our toes, or when our youth pastor steps on our toes, or when an elder saint steps on our toes, right? The way that we react in that moment determines where we go from there. And I'll say this too, a lot of times that emotion that we feel or that we express is not emotion from that moment only. You know, we can circle back to some passages that David writes in the book of Psalms where he says things like, "My bones waxed old through my roaring," where David had bottled up emotion from this thing that he had done. He felt guilt about the things that he had done, and the sin that he had committed, and the acts that he had done. These things were eating him alive, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that we look at this idea of being vulnerable and this this state of emotion that we enter into when the preacher steps on our toes as being a negative thing. But I want to put it to you this way, that a lot of times that relief of that rug being pulled out from under us is oftentimes a good thing.
Right.
Where we can feel those things and begin to deal with those things. David even talks about in Psalms how after the thing was revealed that it was a relief to him, and that that feeling went away, right? Mm-hmm. So I would say to you that when that the man of God gives us a word that deals with our sin, we shouldn't become defensive. We shouldn't become angry. We shouldn't try to justify ourselves or say, you just don't understand. We should begin to allow that word to change us and open ourselves up to it. And I want to open it up to this. I don't even want to say just sin, right? I want to say things even like grief.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say something like loss, right? Things that we're dealing with in our life that we've bottled up that, you know, we don't want to be vulnerable to those feelings or to a man of God who's trying to help us deal with those feelings. I will say this. I've gotten a lot out of prayer,
mm-hmm.
right? But a lot of times when I'm praying, I will keep the door locked on certain rooms in my life. And I won't pray about those things because I don't want to be vulnerable to the things that I'm going to feel when I begin to pour that out to God. But when a man of God gets up in the platform and he begins to speak the very things that I'm feeling, I've had so many of those doors unlocked and I've been able to be free from those things that I've locked in there.
Right. But I don't think that we should have those doors locked to begin with. You know, I think that the man of God is used as a, or how to say this, like a tool
mm-hmm.
between us and God, but I don't think he should be in between us and God. I think that we need to get to a place that we're able to be vulnerable with God first, because at the end of the day, he already knows what right. we're dealing with, and he already knows what we struggle with, and he already knows the grief that we've been through and the loss that we felt and the hard times that, you know, he's delivered us from. He's already aware of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that we're carrying around baggage from, you know, past situations in our life. But when we don't bring it to him, he can't help us fix it. Because at the end of the day, a man of God can stand on the platform or, you know, speak on this podcast or come to you with a word, but it's God who has to do the work.
Right. Exactly.
And it's you who has to allow God to do the work.
Right. Yeah. We have to be, we've been talking all this time about being vulnerable to the man of God, but the end product is that we must be vulnerable to him, right? To God himself. The man of God can speak that word, but if our heart is closed to it, it's inevitably God that's going to end up doing that work at the end anyway, right? So I think that's an important point. I think you said it so well that we must be open and vulnerable to him because he already knows.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of time it's a matter of just simply giving it to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of speaking that out loud and acknowledging it, right? I'll go back to use grief again. I think grief is a great example of things that we typically tend to bottle up because it's so hard to process. But I can still tell you that, you know, Isaiah 61 has never stopped saying, I've been sent to bind up the brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. And so God still is in the business of binding up the brokenhearted. He's still in the business of dealing with the things that you've always been afraid to pour out to him. That's never been a problem or never been something that's ever been out of his playbook. But what we must do, and I'm for any finger I have pointing at anybody who's listening, I've got 10 pointing back at me. So this is obviously a challenging topic for myself as well, right? But we must learn to make ourselves vulnerable to him. And I think we talked about this a few weeks ago in Sunday school, right? Understanding the nature of our relationship with him, in that, yes, he's God, you know, who created the stars. He's God who created the earth. He's God who created, you know, the whales and the elephants and the birds and the bugs and everything else. But he's also the God that created me, right? And he's the God that still wants to hear from me. And that nature that he has of our relationship is still that of father and child, right? It's still that relationship where if I need to, I can still go to him and request. I think Pastor Ashley has said it, and he said it so well, that if I want to crawl up in his lap, right, and get a hug and I want to cry, I can do that because it's a safe place to be vulnerable.
Right. I think it's hard for us to be vulnerable for God, to God, because a lot of us come from, you know, childhoods and homes and places where we're conditioned to keep our feelings to ourselves. Like for me personally, growing up, we didn't really talk about how we felt. Mm-hmm. So like now as an adult, I still struggle with, you know, even with you sometimes communicating how I'm feeling to you, because I was always taught, you know, pretty much stop being a sissy.
Right.
Like suck it up and just keep going. Like life is tough. Mm. And I think that is one of the most damaging things going from, you know, the worldly side of things to the spiritual side of things, is when you come from a place where you're taught that we don't talk about our feelings.
Right.
It's hard for you to be okay taking them to the place where they go.
Yeah.
It's hard for you to be okay opening up to God when you've spent your whole life learning how to bottle up your feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to, so my dad used to use a saying when he would preach that he would say, I'm going to drop the plow down another notch and plow a little deeper. If I can, I want to take that even a step further and get a little bit more specific. I think what you said is so deep, mm-hmm. that this idea that how we're raised and the backgrounds that we have are so impactful on how vulnerable we allow ourselves to be. Because here's the specific element that I want to dive into. We live in a world where the role of father is not as prevalent as what it used to be. And so I say to you that may not have had a stable father figure, those of you who may have not had a father that you could depend on, or maybe, I think Pastor Tyler has said this before and said it so well, maybe every man, right? And I won't even just say man, let me open it up even further and say every person that you have trusted in a leadership position, every person you've ever trusted in that role has let you down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's trauma that we have to work through, right? And trauma we have to work to get past. But I say all that to say, regardless of if your father or if your leader or if your person that you trusted from that position of vulnerability has let you down, God has never let anybody down.
Right.
And I will say this too, that he's still in the business of taking up orphans. And he's still in the business of taking up the fatherless, right? These things are still things that God does. And our hearts must not be hardened against the God that is willing to take us up even in the worst of times.
Right. I think, you know, like you said, opening it up to not just, you know, if you don't have a father or if a man has let you down, anybody in general, I think it's a trauma response that, like, when you're hurt, you shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't open up and you don't talk about things and, you know, you keep it all to yourself because you're just afraid of getting hurt even right. more. But one of the things that you can't have without being vulnerable are close relationships.
Right.
Like you can't be close to God if you're not vulnerable, because when you have a close relationship, there's a level of intimacy that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And intimacy is just what it sounds like. Into me, I see.
Right.
And you can't have that without being open. And one of the things that we have to remember is that we can't allow our past to rob us, you know, from the joy that we're going to experience in the future. We can't allow, you know, the things that people have said about us or the things that people have done to us limit us and ultimately allow us to create walls inside of our heart. We have to continue to be open and continue to be vulnerable to not only give, but to receive the love we deserve.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, you guys don't know it, but my wife actually ghostwrites all my sermons.
No, stop telling people that.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't. But I would not be afraid to preach anything that she says from the pulpit. I can tell you that. You know, I think you made a great point about intimacy. I want to jump on that quickly. Mm-hmm. That we associate intimacy with acts of the marriage bed, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not what intimacy is.
It could be a simple conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, those things are associated with intimacy, and you must obviously be intimate with a person. But the point of that is that intimacy is simply connecting mm-hmm. on a vulnerable level, right? It's a connection that goes deeper than a simple handshake, right? And this is not my area of expertise, because this more dives into my wife's sort of psychology background. But I've always defined intimacy in the wrong way, but it's through talking to people that have this background in psychology and in therapy that I understand that intimacy is not, it's much more than what we pigeonhole it into. It's a conversation. It's a level of trust. It's a connection with another person, and allowing somebody to see you in a position that isn't the stoic, stalwart, rigid person that you are in front of everybody else, right? I would say that some of the most intimate moments in my life have been just conversations in which I wasn't afraid to show my feelings, mm-hmm. right? Where I shed a tear and I didn't care what anybody thought about it. Those have been some of the most intimate moments of my life, sitting in, you know, our pastor's dining room having marriage counseling, right? Where we talk about the things that we were afraid of and the things we were worried about when we got married, right? That's intimacy, and that's vulnerability at mm-hmm. its finest, I would say.
Right. Relationships aren't going to grow if you don't have those intimate moments. You can't get more connected with someone, I guess you can say, or see a growth in any relationship. And that could be the relationship between you and God. It could be the relationship between you and your spouse, between you and your kids, even mm-hmm. between you and your friends, or even you and your pastor. If you're not willing to have those deep conversations, those tough moments, so to speak, where you're able to humble yourself. And, you know, for example, when it comes to your kids, one way to get close to your kids is to be able to admit to your kids when you're wrong. Mm. And I think that is one of the hardest things for us as parents, is because we don't want to go to our kids and be like, you know, mommy was wrong, or mommy shouldn't have acted this way, or mommy shouldn't have said this. But when you do that, not only are you allowing them to see you as human and someone other than someone who just sets all the rules, right. but you're also teaching them how to do the same thing. You're mm-hmm. teaching them how to be vulnerable, which not only can help them worldly, like in worldly situations or secular situations, when they're able to say to people, you know what, I was wrong, but spiritually as well, when they're able to come to God and say, you know what, God, I was wrong for doing that. I didn't understand the nature of what I was doing.
Right.
Or for them to be able to go to their pastor and say, I'm sorry, you know, if I did this and it offended you, or thank you for what you said, it really helped me realize X, Y, and Z. Like, we have to be vulnerable so that others around us can see what it means to be an authentic version of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what you said is great. If we make failure an unforgivable sin, then our kids are always going to be afraid to admit when they fail, mm-hmm. right? If they don't see us as somebody they can admit that they failed to, right? How are they ever going to be able to admit to God that they failed?
Right. And we have a rule in our house that we are teaching our daughter, that she's never going to get in trouble for being open and honest with us.
Right.
If she does something wrong or she makes a mistake, as long as she comes to us and is open and honest with us, she's never going to be punished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She spilled cereal in her bed the other day, I think, right?
And she was so afraid.
Yes. And we had to tell her, honey, you're not in trouble. You were honest. You came to us and told us what happened, but here's what we're going to do. we're going to clean up the mess, right? I think that that is another avenue of vulnerability, right? Being able to admit that you're wrong and then being willing to take the time to clean up the mess.
Right, when especially when it comes to God. When you take it to him and you say, God, I've made a mess.
Mm-hmm.
I have spilled some things. I have dropped some things. I have broken some things. And I need help.
Right.
And he's always going to be there to be like, okay, let's grab the broom. Let's grab the towel. Let's grab the trash bag. And let's clean it up and let's put it back together to put it back together together.
Right.
And, you know, he's always going to be glad that you came to him. Because if you try to do it yourself, and I know we've said this before, you may not pick up all the pieces.
Yeah. I'm still going to find Fruity Pebbles in her sheets later.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when we talk about picking up the pieces and picking up the mess, you know, that's not an easy process either.
Right.
Even with God's help and everything that he does for us, sometimes it's still going to be painful to have to do that. I know that she did not enjoy, you know, having to take the sheets off her bed and clean the mess up and, you know, take her bowl to the kitchen and everything like that. She didn't enjoy that in the same way that, you know, I don't like having to go to my brother and admit that, hey, I let you down and clean up that mess and pick up the pieces of that relationship with God's help. It's not an easy process.
She thought by telling us that she made a mess that we were going to clean it up for her.
Right.
And I think that's what a lot of us think with God, that if we tell God this is what's happening, that God's just going to come in and clear it out on his own. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that he's not able to do that. I think he is 100% able to do that. But I think a lot of the time God wants to do it with us.
Right. Yeah. I think having our buy-in on the process teaches us how to overcome it later.
Right.
You know, there's this aspect of the situation where we know that God will miraculously resolve and remove the issue. That happens, right? We've seen it happen at the altar with addiction, with depression, with, you know, sorrow and mourning and everything. We've seen God instantly deliver people from those things. But we've also seen, you know, where the process has had to be over time.
Right. But it is a process. Mm-hmm. And the thing about process, whether it's a healing process, whether it's a maturity process, whatever that process or journey is that you're trying to take, mm-hmm. both secularly and spiritually, you can't even take the first step if you're not vulnerable enough to say what the issue is.
Right.
You can't go on a healing journey if you're not first vulnerable enough to figure out what it is that you need to heal from.
Yeah.
You can't grow in God if you're not vulnerable enough to say, these are the areas that I'm lacking.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Vulnerability is the basis of pretty much everything that we will do.
Mm-hmm.
And not being vulnerable and not allowing us to have a place where we can be vulnerable is very damaging.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think I want to go from there. We've talked about the man of God and God himself. I want to talk about being vulnerable to people.
Right.
You know, there's a certain level of trust that we have to place in each other.
Right.
Right. And I think it's important to know who you can go to. And we'll talk about that a little bit as well, as far as setting boundaries and knowing who you can talk to. But I think that finding somebody that's a safe place for you is so important, mm-hmm. right? We have to be vulnerable to our pastors and the men and women of God in our lives, and we have to be open to the things that they say, and we have to be vulnerable to God, and we have to allow him to change and to challenge us and to help us grow and to put us through those even painful moments sometimes. But we also have to make sure that we're vulnerable to people, right? I'll start with this, because the first thing that comes to my mind is not just this typical idea of having, you know, we've talked about accountability partners and things like that, but I think it's even this, that in this great commission that we have to go forth and spread the gospel, you know, we're going to put our hearts on the line sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it with this podcast. We do it with the small group ministry. Our youth pastor does it with the youth group. Our worship arts pastor does it with the congregation as a whole, as well as anybody who participates in worship arts. You know, all of the leaders in our church do it, but each and every member of the congregation who's following the Great Commission of go and spread the gospel and tell everybody about Jesus is putting their hearts on the line to a degree, right? Everybody that you're talking to about Jesus and you're opening yourself up to loving them and to attempting to bring them into the house of God, that's a moment of vulnerability.
Right.
And that's a vulnerable state to be in.
I don't think ministry can grow without vulnerability.
Right.
You know, it's being willing to say, like, these are the things that I've been through and this is what God does for me. Like, when you witness to somebody mm-hmm. and you're telling them your story and you're sharing your testimony and you're, you know, letting them see all of the things that God has done through you and for you, you're being vulnerable.
Right.
You know, it would be very hard to win somebody to God if you were just like, God is great. He can do anything.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you can't with a sentence like that. Mm-hmm. But to me, if I'm speaking to somebody, I'm going to tell them why God is great.
Right.
And what he has done for me and all of, you know, the dark places that he's pulled me out of. And that doesn't mean that you have to give them every single mm-hmm. hard, nasty detail.
Right.
But you can just give them an overview. Like, God delivered me from addiction.
Mm-hmm.
God delivered me from, you know, this sin. God delivered me from that. God did this miracle for my child.
Right.
But without being vulnerable, they may never know what God is capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to take people who are willing to share their experiences to further, you know, what you were saying, the commission or whatever it is that we're working towards. It's going to take those people who are willing to be open. And like I said, it doesn't mean that you have to share every detail with everybody. But I do think that God places people in our lives where we are called to share the deepest parts of our testimony with them in order to help them.
Right. Yeah. I think one of the most profound things that I have heard is that in order to win somebody to Christ, you have to win them to yourself first.
Right.
Right. And you can't do that by being a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that by being a closed book, right? You have to be able and be willing to open yourself up to somebody to win them to Christ, right? And I think that that's, you know, it's important to do all of that, but I don't want to just leave that there. I do think that we must discuss this idea of also having a healthy boundary too, right? We have to open ourselves up. We have to leave ourselves vulnerable to those that we're trying to win, to those that we love, to those that we are witnessing to and trying to fulfill this great commission to. But, you know, it's also important that we have a healthy boundary, right? There are things that I'm going to share with my wife that I will never share with anybody else, right? There's secrets that my wife will know. If you're listening and you attend Faith Tabernacle, don't ask her, right? She's not going to tell you. But there are secrets that she knows that nobody else will ever know because there's a boundary there.
Right.
I've put a boundary up to everybody else that I leave open only to her because she's my wife, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I mean when I say healthy boundaries. I don't mean go around throwing up walls to everybody, but I do mean you need to know when enough is enough, mm-hmm. right? When you have those things that need to stay between you and God and those things that need to be between you and your spouse or be between you and your closest, most personal friends, right? Those things are defining moments in your life or defining pieces of your identity that I would say, you know, keep those at a place where it's only between you and God. You know, the prophet wrote it in the book, right? The moment that he was ready to give up and was experiencing what many will cite as even suicidal thoughts, right? Yes, he wrote it in the book, but it never says that he shared it with the world at large,
mm-hmm.
right? These moments that are written in the Bible, they're written in the book, but it never says that they were shared amongst everybody while he was living and dealing with these things. And so I circle all that back around to say, it is okay to have boundaries, right? We're talking about being intimate and we're talking about being vulnerable, but it is okay and it's healthy to have boundaries.
It is. And I think in going back a little bit, and I know we're talking about boundaries and being vulnerable with people, but I think, you know, looking at this from like a Jesus perspective, and I know that's weird to say because this whole podcast is Jesus perspective, but Jesus dying on the cross was a profound act of being vulnerable.
Right.
Like being crucified back in that time was like how they humiliated you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It was a very physically excruciatingly painful way for him to die.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that.
Yeah.
Willingly. Despite the fact that he had all of the power to get himself off that cross.
Right.
You know, his suffering, his emotional anguish, and the sense of abandonment that he expressed in his final words show the act of being vulnerable that right. happened then. And it also demonstrates, you know, his love and sacrifice for us, and that he was willing to take on the full weight of human sin and brokenness to offer redemption to us. And I think that that is like the heart of Christian belief.
Right. Yeah. Following that model of being willing and able to open ourselves up in that way, right? Christianity is to be Christ-like,
mm-hmm.
and Christ set the ultimate example of vulnerability, as you said, when he gave himself on the cross, right?
Right.
I think
it, not to cut you off, but because I'm pregnant and we'll forget what I'm trying to say in 5 seconds. I think, too, we're speaking about being vulnerable and sharing our feelings and sharing things about us. But I think we have to be vulnerable enough to, you know, carry some of the burden for our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Like yeah. not having them when they come to us and they're sharing it with us. That's one thing. And that is them being vulnerable, you know, to us and letting us peek behind the curtain of who they are and what they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to be vulnerable too, to say, you know what? I'm not going to let you carry this alone.
Right.
Like I'm going to be a friend to you. I'm going to pray with you and for you. And I'm going to help you pick up this bag of broken pieces. And together we're going to carry it to the altar and we're going to leave it there and we're going to allow God to do the work. And I'm not going to leave you hanging.
Right. Yeah. That's intimacy.
Right.
Intimacy is a connection, and the connection is that while you're being vulnerable, I'm going to allow that safe space for you. Not only am I going to leave a space, I'm going to bridge that gap,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm going to go with you. That's vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
That's intimacy. That's a connection with that person, allowing them to speak their heart, to speak their mind, to be broken, and to not judge them, right? Again, we cannot be a brick wall to this world.
Right.
You know, we've got to stand firm. We've got to stand strong, but we've got to know when to open the gate too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important. I think that's so beautifully said, honey. I would hope, right, that in following the teachings of Christ, that we are never afraid to allow somebody to be broken, and that we're never afraid to allow somebody in our life that's close to us to be in that moment and to not reciprocate that vulnerability, right? I think that there's not much more I can add to that. You said it perfectly.
I think at the end of the day, we have to remember that being vulnerable is how we receive the love that God has for us.
Right.
It's how we receive the preached word that the pastor brings forth on Sundays. It's how we receive, you know, the motivation to keep going when times are tough, just having an open ear to hear and a heart to let it take roots into. It's how you open the door for change.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's ultimately how you grow, not only in yourself, but in Christ.
Yeah.
And we're never going to achieve the level of maturity in Christ or relationships with other people that we want if we do not allow ourselves to be vulnerable. And I know we've pretty much said vulnerable every other word, but there's no there's no other way to describe it than just opening up and allowing people to see behind you know, the curtain and see who you are. And I can speak from personal experience. That is extremely hard for me to do.
Right.
I don't like people seeing me upset. I'm the type of person, I don't want people to see me cry. That one, like, I think every time I've given birth, I've forced myself not to cry because I don't want people staring at me. And so I am, you know, speaking to myself when I'm saying that it is important, but it's imperative also that we get to that place that we're okay being vulnerable. And I've even had to, like we said, I don't want to say convince, but pretty much convince myself that God is who I take it all to.
Right.
He is, you know, he's the one that's going to help me do the work, and he's the one that's going to be there for me, because at the end of the day, man is going to fail you time and time and time again. And no matter how much of a great person that you have found, and one way for me to say this is our pastor. He's like the best person on the planet. He's like the everything man. He is like, you know, not only is he pastor, principal, mayor,
right,
Michael Patterson, but he's also the very best friend that you can have.
Oh, for sure.
He is a vault. Like, you can tell him anything. You can go to him with anything, and he's always there. I have never known a time that our pastor was not there for us, and I have never heard of a person tell a story where they needed something from him and he wasn't right there.
Right.
And I know that he learned that from, you know, Bishop, and they're both great examples of what we should be to other people, but there is going to come times where even they fail us.
Right.
And so we have to learn that even though we're allowing ourselves to be vulnerable to them, we have to also be more willing to be vulnerable to God, because he's going to be the one person who's always going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautifully said. I think here's what I would like to leave our listeners with this week. We've been talking about being vulnerable, and we've given all these ideas and these concepts and all this instruction, but I want to point you in a direction this week, if I can, that is simply this. When you get to church on Sunday and somebody tells you that they love you, believe them.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the worship service and God extends an expression of his love and the feeling of the Holy Ghost moving in the church service, believe him.
Mm-hmm.
When the pastor preaches the word and you know that what he's saying is said in love, believe him.
Right.
Because that simple act of opening yourself up just a little bit,
right,
I guarantee you will yield dividends that you haven't known in your Christian walk before.
Right. And I think to add my closing thoughts, I would like to encourage anyone who is struggling with the idea of being open to anybody, but specifically to Christ, to remember that being vulnerable isn't about being weak. It doesn't mean you're weak,
right,
to be vulnerable or to be open, but vulnerability is about openness and trust. And it can be very difficult to open yourself up to Christ, especially if you've been hurt, disappointed, or you feel like you're unworthy.
Right.
But the beauty of Christ's love is that he already knows our struggles. He already knows our fears, and he already knows every imperfection that you have. And he doesn't require us to be perfect to come to him. Mm-hmm. He just desires our hearts exactly where they are. When we allow ourselves to be vulnerable before Christ, we create a space for healing, for growth, and a deeper connection with him. Just as he was vulnerable for us, offering us his love and sacrifice, he invites us to be real with him and knowing that we won't reject him. It's in our vulnerability that his grace can truly work in us. So I want to remind everyone that God is always going to meet us exactly where we are.
Right.
And being vulnerable will allow ourselves to experience his profound love and his acceptance every single time we open our ears and hearts to him.
Yes. And we'll close out with this. King David, allow yourself to be vulnerable. Get the relief that the vulnerability will bring you. Let the man of God let the man of God speak the word that's going to allow God to go to work on your heart. We love you. We thank you so much for joining us this week. We're always praying for you. We are faithful.